SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline with the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching, listen, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
And welcome in. It is Moneyline here on Sports Grid. Scott Wetzel, George Kurtz sitting in for Donnie and Kevin over the next hour as we review what happened yesterday and preview what's going to happen hopefully today in the world of sports. Yes, some NFL, a little NHL news, some NBA headline game of the year tonight. How about that in a season that's about a month or so old, all to break down over the next 60 minutes. What's going on, George? How are you this morning? I was going to say this afternoon, but actually it's still morning this morning.
This morning, this afternoon, listen, I'm a Cowboy fan, Scott. How do you think I'm doing?
Yeah, doesn't matter.
The sky is literally falling, right? I mean, literally falling here. Maybe Jerry Jones was prophetic when he said last week, wait, tear down the stadium? Well, maybe the stadium's tearing down itself.
34-10. You know, it was so obvious that Houston was the better team going into the game, right? As poorly as Cooper Rush played last week, it's like, how would anyone put American money on Dallas, except if you just buy into the old opposite picks theory? I'd rather be on the side of the boys of Vegas, which clearly they must have been on Dallas. I mean, because how could you realistically go into that game thinking Dallas was going to win? They didn't win, didn't cover, didn't play well. 34-10, they lose to Houston. Could have been a lot worse. Just, you know, added on to all the ugly performances, six straight home losses now for Dallas. I mean, in 1 week, it gets worse and worse. It's more and more embarrassing. And then, you know, last night, I don't know if necessarily that was the worst that we'll see of Dallas, George, but it was a no contest for the most part. I never, even when the score was relatively close, I never thought Dallas was going to win that football game.
Neither do I. I was on Houston -7.5. Actually, I had him twice. I took -7 earlier in the week. I went double down last night, -7.5. Didn't care. Everything you said is true about the Cowboys. I mean, Scott, their win total in preseason was 9.5. I took the under. Never, ever did I think I'd be cashing that under before Thanksgiving. Okay, because they lose next week, you cash the under. They can't get the 10. So just a pitiful season for the Cowboys. Trade of Jonathan Mingo for a fourth-round pick. Scott, he had as many catches last night as you and I did. You know, so yeah, he's part of the offense, Jerry. That's good. That's good to give up that pick for him. Just fantastic. At this point, listen, I don't have much faith in Trey Lance, but shouldn't he be in there? I mean, Cooper Rush is a backup quarterback. It's what he is. Shouldn't he be finding out? How bad must Trey Lance be that you keep – he doesn't play over Cooper Rush? I mean, the season's
he's
over.
Bad, though. He's bad, though.
He is bad.
I mean, he was awful in the preseason. You know, and I kept on calling for him to play in the preseason, and he got a couple of starts there, and he was awful. I'm looking for, like, what in the world? And I wanted to bring this up, so I'm glad you did. What in the world did San Francisco see in this dude to not only draft him, not only draft him in the first round, not only draft him in the top five with the number 3 overall selection, but to trade with Miami to move up? That you must have loved this guy so much. And here he is, you know, 3-4 years later, and he's about to be kicked out of the league. I mean, how do you swing and miss that badly on a player?
And we're talking San Fran, right? One of the coaches that we think is one of the best in the league, right? We're not talking the Cowboys drafting him. Okay, you don't know about McCarthy developing a quarterback. No, this is Shanahan. And listen, we joked about it at the time. Really? Shanahan doesn't believe the kid's going to work, but Dallas is going to fix him? Yeah, it doesn't sound right. Another great draft pick given up by Jerry. I agree. He's not going to change anything, but we know what Cooper Rush is. Let's at least put Trey Lance on the field. Listen, the Cowboys, doesn't matter. Cooper Rush and Trey Lance are both free agents at the end of the season here. Maybe Rush is back as a backup. I don't think Lance would be back unless Jerry's going to be stubborn and say, oh, no, I traded a pick for him. I'm going to sign him. He's going to be a backup next year. I can certainly see Jerry doing something silly like that. It is what it is with the Cowboys. Excuse me. You mentioned Vegas, by the way. It looks like Vegas has finally woken up, right? Because next week in Washington, Dallas are 10-point underdogs.
I saw that. Yeah. I saw it. I was like, wow, when's the last time the Cowboys have been a 10-point underdog? You know,
I think it was 2000.
On the road. 2000?
I think it's 2000, yeah.
And hated, although I don't know how much of a rivalry really is anymore, but you know, old school, it was their hated rivals.
I think Cowboy fans nowadays, Philadelphia would be that main rival.
Right.
I think Washington's tapped down a little bit. You go to Washington, you're going back to more 80s, certainly the 80s, maybe part of the 90s, but I think Philadelphia's really taking over that main rival road for the Cowboys.
Yeah. Now, listen, they have the Giants on the schedule. They do have Carolina on the schedule as well. But I ask as a person who, unlike you, I had the over 9.5. Don't ask. I just didn't think they would, you know, be this bad. And listen, they wouldn't have gotten 10 wins with Dak Prescott playing. They were not on pace to get to 10 wins. So I really realistically can't even use that as an excuse. But, I mean, is this team going to win again? You know, can they beat the Giants? Can they win at Carolina? I mean, the way we saw out of Bryce Young these last couple of games, he's actually, you know, turning into, at least a halfway decent quarterback. Do the Cowboys go winless the rest of the way, George?
It's a great question. Scott, if you were Mr. Vegas here, what would you set their win total? They won 3, 4.5, 5.5 at most. It'd be 4.5, right? You play the Giants on Thanksgiving, and you play Carolina on the road. Those are the only two games I think they have a snowball's chance of winning. And I'm not saying they'll win those, by the way. All right, Carolina's playing much better. That's a road game. They can certainly beat the Cowboys. And, Mr. Tommy Cutlets over there, I don't think they can beat Dallas on Thanksgiving, but I wouldn't bet on the Cowboys. You know, I certainly wouldn't do that. I might be playing props that day, you know, but I'd be a hard time betting the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys will be they'll be favorite versus the Giants, I imagine, by 3, somewhere around there. Carolina could be pretty close to a split, you know, even here in as far as Vegas is concerned. I think if you give me 5.5, I'm definitely taking the under. 4.5, I think I'm still taking the under. You know, the only scared about that is they do play Washington last game of the season. What if that game means nothing to the Commanders?
Right.
So I do
They're
wonder
over
that.
Under. FanDuel's got it at 5.5.
Under.
Even if it's meaningless for Washington, I still think they would put forth a better effort. And I don't think it really would be, because chances are pretty good they're going to be battling for a wild card spot. And maybe it would be not necessarily
a home-field
advantage, but yeah, it might be just for seeding purposes. Maybe they would try and play. I don't know. Maybe it would be meaningless. But give me the backup quarterback. I have to see I forget who it is for Washington. But give me the backups for Washington versus the starters for Dallas at that point in the season, when they only have maybe one or two more wins and they're sitting there at 5-11. And you're like, are you going to play any kind of inspired ball, even to beat a second string Washington club? I don't think so. I mean, I don't see them getting 3 more wins and I had them on the over, but this team is awful. I think I'll get a bet on
it. I don't see it either. And like I said, you'd have to beat the Giants and Carolina. And I don't know if they can beat both. I said, I don't think they can. I think they might split. And then their other game that I guess you could think maybe is a possibility, I don't, would be Tampa Bay. And I think they get wrecked by Tampa Bay, too. I think Mayfield's going to have a field day. And Mike Evans will certainly be back by then as well. So, no, the Cowboys, I guess their best case scenario would be 5-12. You know, and right. We all know, listen, theoretically, you should want to lose at this point, right? Get a better draft pick, although there are so many bad teams. The Cowboys would draft 9th right now. It's going to be hard for them to get much higher than that, because there are a lot of bad teams. They're actually better off losing to the Giants and Carolina, that theoretically they could at least move up a couple of slots here and maybe get a top 5, top 6 pick.
A lot of buzz about the trade in Micah Parsons. I don't know, George. You know, I'm not a big believer on trading away young, good players. I know the team stinks, but you're a Cowboys fan. You know, if you could get, what would you get for him? First and maybe a third, we'll say? Would you be willing to do that?
Much more than that. The running price.
You got to pay him. You got to pay him. You know, so you're not only trading for him, you're trading for crazy contract.
Said the pass rusher. There would be a team that would pay him. That being said, the only reason I think they would trade him would be because he's a mouth, right? He's mouthing off now, too. Maybe he's pushing Jerry Jones' buttons a little bit.
All right, we'll talk more about it when we come back. Moneyline here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hurry back, I am yours.
All right, welcome back. It is Moneyline here on the grid. Scott Wetzel, George Church sitting in for Donnie and Kevin today. They'll be back tomorrow. We're just breaking down first up the Dallas game from last night. We'll preview some of the games a little bit later on as far as NHL. Take a look, a little peek at the next Sunday schedule. A lot of buys this week. You got six teams on buys, so you got a limited number of games this upcoming week, but still plenty to get the blood pumping, that is for sure. So we were talking a little Dallas Cowboys stuff, George, and last one would be with this. You know, again, I don't think you should trade Parsons, but if he becomes a malcontent, then okay. If you could theoretically trade him and get, you know, best case scenario, two number ones, and I don't really believe you could get that as good as he could be. I just don't think a team's going to trade for a player, give up that kind of inventory, and then have to pay him, you know, $30 million a year. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, they can, right? Maybe a first and a second. So you get a first and a second there. You bottom out this year. You finish in the top five draft-wise. You don't need a quarterback, you know, whether you believe in Dak or not. They're not drafting a quarterback, obviously. So now you trade out of that pick to some team that does need a quarterback. That I do think you should be able to get two number ones for. And now you got yourself three number ones in a second, or maybe four number ones to really now rebuild the franchise. What do you think about that approach?
Well, it's not going to happen because the Cowboys are not trading Parsons for a one or two. All right. Well, there's speculation among NFL people that Parsons, if he was traded, would go for three number ones, by the way, Scott. He has
that. No, he's not going for three number ones, George. Probably not. He's going to go for that. Nobody goes for that in the NFL. The last person that went for that was I don't know. You'd have to go back to the Jets trading away Adams to the Seattle Seagirls, and how'd that work out for Seattle? They got two number ones for him.
But Adams is not in this count. He was never that player. What the Seahawks were thinking is beyond me. But it wouldn't happen. Even if it was two number ones, it's not going to happen. Once again, you talk about Dallas trading with a team that's probably on a good team, right? Just for giggles here, which means you're drafting in the 25 to 32 range. You're not getting a great player at that point. All right, you're not. And then the next number one, you got the next year was, once again, 25 to 32 range, maybe closer to 30 because they got a better player. You're not getting transcendent players there. I said, the only way I think Jerry Jones would trade Micah Parsons is if Parsons is just ticking him off. You know, Parsons is a big talker. You know, he's got the podcast. He's got this. He's not afraid. You know, I don't think he was getting on Mike McCarthy about what he said. I think he was sort of praising Zach Martin more than getting on McCarthy. Who cares about McCarthy anyway? He's gone, right? He's a dead man walking here. But I think Jones knows he has a player here. He's going to pay him. He's going to have to. My biggest worry would be, it probably doesn't matter. The Cowboys would be a very good team next season anyway. But are you going to wait till the eve of the season again to sign Parsons after he, you know, holds out of training camp? That he holds out of all that? You wonder if that's going to play itself again, like with CeeDee Lamb this year. So that's my only worry here. But I very much doubt that he trades Micah Parsons under any scenario unless it is an overpay.
All right, how about this? We all think, last one on the Cowboys, we all think that, Mike McCarthy's gone, right? But, you know, I was watching the game last night and they showed some graphics on him. And you tend to forget about this stuff, but he did go 12-5 these last three seasons heading into this year. That's pretty good. Now, did they get it done in the postseason? No. But the same people are there, you know, and if Dak Prescott, who you just, you know, invested, $5 gazillion in, goes to Jerry and says, listen, I like McCarthy. I want to work with him. You know, we were 12-5 last year, 12-5, three straight years. Blame the postseason on me, not him. I mean, is it a foregone conclusion that McCarthy's gone?
Well, the postseason is Dak's fault. Right. The numbers tell you it's Dak's fault. That's about who the coach is. He can't play in the postseason. He's not a pressure player. He's just not. That's a different kind of argument here. Is Mike gone? Yeah, Mike's gone. Jerry has no choice anymore. You and I both believe that they're going to win five games at most. They're getting destroyed at home. Scott, they haven't won a home game. They won 16 straight home games, and they just can't play home anymore. There's a good chance they're going to go, 1-7 at best at home this year, maybe even go winless. He'll have no choice here. But the problem for the Cowboy fans is this. It doesn't matter. Jerry's not hiring a real head coach. There's no Harbaugh coming in here. Everybody's thinking, Ben Johnson of Detroit. He's going to have multiple suitors. He's going to want some control. Jerry's not giving that. It doesn't matter who the head coach is because Jerry's going to hire some puppet. That's what he's going to do. Somebody who has no choice but to say yes to what Jerry wants. I mean, come on, it's a joke. Jerry's in on meetings. What happens at the end of every game? At the end of every game, you know, Jerry's walking down to the media. Doop, 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 so he can go chat. This is what Jerry does. He wants to be, it's his team, do what you want. But don't talk to me about the Cowboys being relevant again until Jerry's gone. I just don't believe that. Is it McCarthy's fault? Partly. Dak's fault? Partly. Jerry Jones' fault? Absolutely. All three of them play a part in this. And I got to be honest with you, Scott. I don't think the Cowboys will get to where they want to go until all three are gone. You know, and McCarthy will be gone this year. But until Jerry's gone, I'm not controlling the team. We'll see what Steven does, his son. Is he going to be the same kind of guy? Or a little bit better, hire a real GM? We'll see. But with Dak there for four more years, I don't think any of this matters.
All right, they take on the Giants in 2 weeks. We talked about that. Giants announced yesterday as they get set to host Tampa Bay. No Danny Nichols, as I like to call him. He's out, and we're going to go with Tommy DeVito as your starting quarterback. Not Drew Locke, who they signed this offseason as well. I find that interesting. You know, on the surface, George, you say, are the Giants really trying to win? I mean, let's face it, they're going to need a quarterback. Unlike with Dallas, they are going to need a quarterback at the end of the year. So they do want to theoretically finish high in the draft order. So let's not start Drew Locke because, you know what, he may be able to win us two, three, four games. Not four, but two or three. We stick in, you know, Tommy Cutlets here, and we're going to go with us the rest of the way. That's my initial thought. But then I say, well, let's remember last year what happened when they put in Tommy DeVito because they had no other options. The dude, for whatever reason, decided to win not one, not two, but three football games down the stretch, including a game over Washington. You know, they don't win those three games. They're drafting number two and taking Jaden Daniels because they put in DeVito and he was able to do, you know, perform his magic. You know, they finished in the number six slot in the draft order, and Washington, thanks in large part to their loss against the Giants, and DeVito finishing the number two spot. So maybe they're not necessarily trying to tank games. I just find it ironic that, you know, the guy who really kind of cost them a chance at a big-time quarterback in Jaden Daniels is now going to be the guy that you're going to go to. You're going to skip over your number two guy, Drew Locke, and go to Tommy DeVito. So I'll give you a chance to respond to that. Giants getting set for Tampa Bay. You talk about dead man walking and just a crazy, you know, regroup the whole organization. That's the New York Giants right now. So, all right, Moneyline here on the grid. Scott and George in for Donnie and Kevin. Continuing here in a sec.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Moneyline here on the grid. Scott Wetzel, George Kurtz in for Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh on this Tuesday morning. Don't know how many people, you know, sometimes we run commercials, sometimes we run promos, sometimes you go to the bathroom, get a drink or whatever. But one of our promos in the break there, George, reminded us that this is the anniversary of the Herm Edwards fumble return against the New York Giants. Speaking of the Giants, at the Meadowlands, Miracle at the Meadowlands, Joe Pisarcik handing off to Hall of Famer Larry Zonka. The attempt was there. So I remember that. You said it, and I'll start with this. I was watching the game, too, as a kid. I remember it. I actually did not see the play. I'll be honest. I remember watching a game. That was a 1 o'clock game. And here in New York, New Jersey, I grew up in New Jersey at the time. You know, it was rare where you had really more than one game. There was either a late 1 o'clock game still going on, or I flipped over to NBC to watch the early start of the 4 o'clock game. And then I flip back 2 minutes later, right? And I see the Eagles celebrating in the end zone. And I'm like, is this a highlight? No, it can't be, right? And then they show the play. I'm like, oh my goodness, you gotta be kidding me. They tried to hand the ball off. I don't remember before then, but not that I wasn't old enough to remember, but I think from that point on, really instituted just the kneel down from quarterbacks. I don't think the Giants were the only team that did that back then. Just, you know, hand the ball off. We got 25 seconds left. You got to run a play rather than just take a knee. But, man, craziness at the Meadowlands.
Yeah, I think that play is considered the, I guess, the grandfather or the father of the kneel down. Team stopped doing it. There's just no reason to, right? Just take the knee, go in victory formation, and away we go here. Yeah, I watched that too, living in Elmont at the time on Long Island, and that's a wild play. And you forget that it's Herman Edwards, right? The guy is all over ESPN now. Mr. Don't Hit Send After Midnight. You play to win the game. So pretty wild play back then. But it's kind of sad, though, Scott. We'll never see something like that again.
Probably not. You know, let's say you botch a snap or something like that, but an actual handoff, you know, not only did they like fumble, but, you know, you had to have Philadelphia recover the ball, and then you have the Eagles to have to pick up the ball and run for a touchdown. And they needed a touchdown, you know, so if they just would have fallen on the ball, they would have had about 20 or so seconds left. I forget exactly how much time, but I know it was under a minute. They didn't have to run it. They had to run one more play. So, but, you know, it was like the perfect storm. I mean, just like, you know, I remember coaching. I think the offensive coordinator got fired. Zonka never took blame. Said, don't blame me. I was there. The ball wasn't there. I forget what Pisarcik always said about the play, but you really think about that. Like, why wouldn't you just have taken a knee? Like, just take a knee and the game is over. That's too funny. So 1917 Eagles win. So back to the Giants of current, you know, it's funny, you know, as bad as they are now, maybe that, although they were actually like 5-6 back then, they weren't an awful football team. But I do think it's kind of funny that they're going to Tommy DeVito here. What was the point of bringing Drew Locke in? And again, if you think it's because they want to tank the season, George, as I pointed out before, this guy came in last year and won 3 games. He was 3-4 starter last year.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of read it the same as you, but DeVito's a gunslinger. He's going to throw the football, so I guess you have nothing to lose. Once again, Locke is sort of like Cooper Rush. He's a backup. You know what you have here. Let's find out what you got in DeVito. Do you at least have a backup quarterback? Right? I think that's what they want to do. You at least have a backup quarterback for the next whatever amount of years behind whoever you're drafting next season. Now, you can make the argument that Locke would be a better caretaker, mentor to, Beck. Let's just say the Giggles here, if they get back Carson Beck. You can make that argument, you know, maybe not here. But I guess what the Giants need to figure out, you know what you have in Locke. Let's see what you have in DeVito. I kind of like the move by the Giants. You know, I don't think they're – listen, truth is, Scott, you look at their schedule. Does it matter? DeVito, Locke, you play Tampa, lost. Right. Dallas, you got a shot. New Orleans, you got a shot. Everything else should be a loss. Baltimore, Atlanta – I guess Indianapolis, you could have a shot, maybe. And then you play Philadelphia the last game of the season, a game that may or may not mean anything for Philly. But it's in Philly. I think once again, they'll show up. But by the way, I think Philly could be sure Marcus Mariota quarterback anyway. If they're – that's not Marcus Mariota, I'm sorry. I think of Washington. He's the backup there now. I just don't think it matters. And once again, I imagine they're over on this 5.5 as well. That would be my guess.
Yeah, probably. Probably.
The only problem is the Giants of Dallas has to win.
Would you be more willing to bet on the Giants with Drew Locke or Tommy DeVito as a starting quarterback? 3.5. Wow. 3.5 only for the Giants. And do you think Danny Nichols will get a starting job next year? One more game.
Oh, no.
One
of the
Giants? No, 2 more games.
Give
right?
3.5 for the Giants.
I'm looking right at it.
Jones is back.
I need new reading glasses. -164. Yeah, exactly.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Check that money line here on the grid, Scott and George, in for Donnie and Kevin. And we got so many shows here, George. We tend to forget, you know, what show we're actually doing. So, yeah, Giants win-loss total, 3.5, and they got 2 wins. That's, you know, are they going to be that bad? Maybe. Jacksonville this week.
Well, they are that bad.
I don't think they're that bad. The only thing I would say is that, as we talked about earlier, if they blew a chance to get a quarterback last year because they won a couple of games, I got a feeling they're going to be make damn sure they're not going to do that 2 years in a row. So whether it's Drew Locke or Danny Nichols or Tommy DeVito, you know, they all get nicknames here. I think the management is going to say, listen, if you guys win a football game down a stretch and blow our chance to get a top three pick and a good quarterback, then, you know, you will get fired.
Players don't want to lose. DeVito's not going to lose on purpose.
No, but you could make a 3rd and 8, you call a running play, 4th and long,
you think
you
Dable's
go for
giving it up? He's
going to
get
40.
Fired, too. He's going
to
try
to
win.
Well, they decide beforehand. They have to go to him and go to the GM and say, listen, your jobs are safe, all right? So go do whatever you need to do. Your jobs are safe. And just, you know, wink, wink, you know, we need a new quarterback.
Unless I get that pen on paper that says new contract, I'm not believing. Listen, I know Mara has said that he's not going to fire these guys. I have a hard time believing that. I mean, I think it's going to be an interesting offseason
really?
In the New York, New Jersey area. I mean,
I don't think
Shen's got to go. He's been terrible. You got Malik Nabers, right? Good for you. Everybody's been a bust here. Dable, and I was wrong. I thought the Giants got it right when they hired Dable. I did. They finally got his good head coach. But nope, he can't do it either. So I think he has to go. You know, he has another shot. You're going to give a GM that you don't trust another shot at what's going to be your number one quarterback? He's got to hit it right. You can't miss this again.
Well, he hasn't had a quarterback, right? He didn't draft Danny Nichols. Now he decided to resign him.
He has no other draft picks here. I'm not giving him. Because if you're willing to fire a guy, right, if he misses this, they're going to be willing to fire him, right? Which means you probably should have fired him in the first place then, right? You should have moved on here. It always drives me insane when you fire a head coach like 3-4 games into the season. If you're willing to fire somebody 3-4 games into the season, then he should have been fired in the offseason. You should have moved on already here. But you're already thinking about it. And if you're already thinking about it, you probably should make the move. All right, so I don't think Dable and Shen should be back. I wouldn't be trusting either one of them to get the right quarterback. And this is a solid quarterback class, but not a great one. All right, so I think it's going to be very interesting here. By the way, for those who are wondering, I would be shocked if Dion, you know, and his son somehow ended up with a Giant. I don't see Mara doing that.
Oh, yeah.
At all.
Yeah, no.
You know, I don't think that's happening here, but that's going to be a big topic during the offseason as well as, does Dion want to coach in the NFL? Maybe he does, but where he tries to steer his son towards going.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if he does. I really wouldn't. You know, now that, you know, Hunter's gone, his sons are gone, now all of a sudden you find out if you can really recruit. So Danny Nichols, 50-50 bet on FanDuel next year. Is he starting week number one in the NFL for any team?
Not unless there's an injury. I mean, I think he's a backup going into where he signs. You know, so whatever team he signs with, then he will sign with somebody. He's the backup quarterback. But then again, that backup could get hurt. The starter could get hurt, you know, during training camp. Then he's the starter. But I don't think he's a starting quarterback going in, no. What's his best case scenario, Scott? I mean, even if you say, well, he'll sign with the Raiders. Well, the Raiders are going to draft the quarterback. You know, see, I guess you'd be hoping that quarterback's not ready. I guess that would be another
be like a Gardner Minshew
possibility. Exactly.
It'd be like
exactly what
Gardner Minshew. Yeah. Rather
so
have Danny Nichols
not going in,
or Sam Darnold, who I think stinks. He's playing with a great offense. A great
he's
offense.
He's regressing again.
And you and I could quarterback that Viking offense. And he's starting to show his true colors these last few games. Yeah. So Who's
isn't it the same story every year with Sam Darnold? You see this all the time with Darnold. He does well the first 4 or 5 games, and then it's like everybody sees what he can do and they stop it. He's very good in the first 15 scripted plays that he's practiced all week, but then he can't do anything after that. Jones or Darnold? I guess Darnold, at least he's winning some games, so I'll take Darnold here, but I don't feel great about it.
I don't think a team is going to say, here's my franchise. You know, I think like Gardner Minshew with the Raiders is the perfect example. All right, we got a young kid that maybe we believe in. We're not sure. We'll bring you in, Sam. We'll bring you in, Danny. You can compete. If you win the starting job, great. If you don't, you don't. But I don't think there's going to be a Atlanta Falcons team, you know, with Kirk Cousins that just says, you know what, Danny Nichols, you're our quarterback. You know what, Sam Darnold, you had a great season last year in Minnesota. You're our quarterback. Here's a 3-year, 4-year, you know. $100 million contract with 2 years guaranteed or something goofy like that. I don't think that's going to happen with those guys. Say Justin Fields, throw him into the lot, right? These guys are all just Justin Fields falling down after 9 yards instead of getting the first down against Baltimore, which is idiotic. By the way, just one. Here's my pet peeve before we get into the hockey stuff. I watched the John Harbaugh press conference, right? And they asked him about the 2-point conversion. Why wasn't, you know, Derrick Henry in there? He's like, well, this is how like Neanderthal thinking some coaches are. We had a play design. They called a timeout, so we went to our second play, which did not include, you know, the best running back in the NFL. First of all, why would you have a second play that doesn't include Derrick Henry? Why would you have any play needing 2 yards that would not include Derrick Henry on the football field? So that was strike number one. But then they asked him about the onside kick. He did not go for an onside kick, George, if you didn't see it. Minute left. They had 3 timeouts, and they kicked the ball deep. And this is my pet peeve of all pet peeves with these coaches. He said, I didn't just do the onside kick because I thought our chances of stopping them 3 and out were better than doing an onside kick and recovering it. And what I want some announcer, some reporter who's there to then say, coach, if you do an onside kick and don't recover, you know you could still stop them 3 and out, right? You know, you're not giving up the opportunity to stop them 3 and out because you decide to kick the ball deep. I'll never understand it. It's a wrong decision. I don't care what anybody says, George. You do an onside kick, and if you don't recover it, all right, they got the ball right around midfield. You stop them 3 and out, just like you were going to do if you're going to kick the ball deep. Why would you give up an opportunity, as slim as it is, but it's still an opportunity to recover the onside kick? And Harbaugh, like all the other coaches, make it a one or another choice. It's not one or the other. It's a bonus doing an onside kick. I don't get it.
Depends on how you look at it. I agree with you about Derrick Henry. And by the way, as far as the Derrick Henry thing is concerned, how do you not have 2 plays out of the same formation at the for a 2-point conversion? From who cares if they call a timeout? You have 2 plays, all right? Right. Shouldn't that be on film? Should the pitching already seen on film? They have two, three plays. We don't really know. You may have an idea, but you don't nearly know for sure. So that one is weird for me. As far as the outside kick, well, you wouldn't get the ball at midfield. All right, onside kick for the 35.
Well, it's got to go 10 yards.
You're 40. That's 45 yards.
47?
If you kick it to the midfield, then you kick a bad onside kick. And keep in mind, if it's a bad onside kick, you're getting at the 42, 43. They're getting a couple of yards in field goal range. So there is some pushback there on that. Onside kicks, that's your pet peeve. My pet peeve is the onside period. The NFL has ruined this. The onside kick used to be fun. I just like watching onside kicks, what might happen here. Now you gotta acknowledge or declare it. Like, hey, we're doing an onside kick, everybody. Onside kick. It's just stupid. All right. Your percentage are in the single digits. You're just not going to recover it. You're not going to. So I can understand Harbaugh in that way because you're giving up 40 yards of field position. It doesn't bother me. I don't mind your thinking either, because let's face it, if they do get the field goal range, well, that probably means they got the first down. Game's over anyway. So I sort of get your thinking as well here. What's your worst case scenario? Your best case would be they don't get it, they punt inside your 10. So you could lose 20 yards there. So I do understand where Harbaugh's going with this as well.
Think about this. If you're Baltimore and you're undecided, take a poll. Ask every single Pittsburgh Steeler head coach, what do you want us to do? Kick the ball deep or an onside kick? I guarantee you, every single one will say, kick the ball deep, which means you should do the onside kick.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Then we got the football full circle where I'll return and it'll be me and Ben Stevens here. So got a bunch of hockey games to get to here in a second here, George. Do have one NBA game. I know you're not an NBA guy, but you're the perfect guy to bring this up with, because even NBA fans just poo-poo the regular season. Who cares? Players don't care. No one seems to care, even though we got to pay top dollar for these tickets. All these superstar players left and right sitting out games. So we got the Minnesota Cavaliers. 15-0, one of the best starts in NBA history, right? Taking on the defending champ Boston Celtics. Now, you as a non-NBA guy, do you have any interest? You're obviously a sports fan, so you know what's going on. Do you have any interest even in that headline game, defending champs versus the hottest team in the NBA?
Well, first of all, even I know it's the Minnesota Timberwolves, all right? Not the Cavaliers. I think it's Cleveland.
Cleveland Cavaliers. I said Minnesota. I'm looking at Minnesota on my screen. Cleveland Cavaliers versus Boston Celtics.
So Cleveland's 15-0?
Yeah.
I didn't even know they were. All right. I would have thought it was Minnesota Timberwolves. I had no idea Cleveland. I didn't even know. Listen, I know a little bit about basketball. I had no idea they were that good a team to be 15-0. No. Do I have any interest? No. Okay. No. No.
What would it take for you? What would it take for you as a non-NBA fan to be interested in a regular season NBA game? Anything Cleveland, LeBron with the Lakers against somebody, maybe? I mean, anything?
I used to be a Lakers fan back in the day with Showtime, with Magic and Kareem, Jamal, you know, Cooper and all those guys. So back in the 80s, sure. And no, it would have to be someone like you or Gabe or Joe Ranieri to convince me to bet on a game. And you all have at different times over the years. And maybe I would tune in a little bit. I have six TVs here. So there's always a chance that, okay, there's only four hockey games and I have two TVs free. All right, maybe the game goes on. I thought about watching the Jake Paul-Mike Tyson fight the other night. I actually had Netflix on, but I just thought, I think I put it on at 8. The fight wasn't until midnight. I lost interest and started watching other things here. So it could happen, sure, but it would be a rarity. I don't hate basketball. I like to play basketball. Kids play down the street. They have a hoop that I play. You know, I said I did like it back in the day. I just don't follow it now. I'm much more of a hockey guy. And there'll be six hockey games on tonight that I'll watch.
All right. One of those, Anaheim and Chicago. That's the game where I'm telling you right now the line's going to change. So get in early, folks. Over-under is 6.5. Little juice on FanDuel, -135 or so. But I will tell you it's going to be 5.5 with the over heavily juiced. I would think, you know, maybe before our show is over. Here's why. Anaheim 11-5-1 under on the season. Chicago 10-5-3 under on the season, including 5 in a row. Anaheim and Chicago, George, both with 43 goals, second fewest in the NHL. Why this game right now is 6.5 is beyond me. I'm telling you, you know, I know you guys drinking around, you're having your coffee and your bacon and your eggs and your breakfast, and sometimes you don't put bets in until later this afternoon, even sometimes tonight. But I'm telling you right now, that will not be 6.5 by the time they drop the first puck.
Well, first of all, you have bacon and eggs, man. Send some over here, man. We'd love some bacon and eggs. I would agree with you. I think the under is the play there. If you're going to take it right now, you're -124, by the way, under 6.5. As for the game itself here, the Blackhawks being -176 is nuts, by the way. This is not that good a team. I imagine this is because Anaheim played last night. They won, by the way. But they played last night, so you're paying a price for the back-to-back nights, which I'll be the first person to tell you, Scott, when a team plays back-to-back nights, I want to pick against them. Almost always here, but I'm not touching this at -176. It's not a great parlay opportunity for me. This is a game where, as far as the game itself, I'd probably leave alone. You want to take an anytime goal scorer. The Dart hasn't really been that guy. Taylor Hall got benched the other day, former MVP. Maybe he picks it up tonight and picks this game up here. But I think the way to attack this game is what you're saying here. I think you go after the under, 6.5. You're going to pay a price for it, but that is the way to go.
Is this the beginning? Not the end. That's a strong word. But is this the beginning of reality for the Winnipeg Jets? 15. Speaking of great starts, right? With Cleveland NBA, Winnipeg NHL, 15-1. But now they lost two in a row at home against Florida. Really good team, obviously. Florida's won 5 straight road games. Is this, you know, where Winnipeg, you know, comes back to the pack here a little bit?
Yeah, it's been well. Listen, they got to the great start, but it's been also well known their schedule was friendly, shall we say. It was definitely friendly to them here. Now they're playing more who's who, right? You're playing the best team in the NHL, Stanley Cup champion, Florida Panthers tonight. Obviously, I'm not saying Florida's going to roll over them. It should be a good game I'm looking forward to seeing here. But it's not when we're going, oh, Winnipeg's going to win this game. No, I wouldn't go there at all. I do expect it to be Hellebuyck versus Bobrovsky. Did just check yours. I was hoping the over there would be 6.5 as well. I certainly want to go under here, but it's 5.5, which leads me probably to go the over. In this contest, they have -108 here, but this is probably your marquee game of the night, Winnipeg and Florida. As I like to say, the Jets are the Dallas Cowboys. Great regular season team. Well, maybe not this year. But the playoffs, the Jets have their problems, right? Another team in the playoffs, they don't show up, but they're great during the regular season.
Capital fans, hockey fans in general, George, holding their breath, waiting results of tests today. Ovechkin, 2 goals last night. Was he 27 shy of Wayne Gretzky, which is a record, one of many that Gretzky has that I never thought would be approached, let alone broken. Banged knees, but really ankles, but knees last night. Helped off the ice, didn't return after his 2 goals. And again, awaiting results of an MRI and other tests to see how severe the injury might be. Let's hope he didn't blow his knee out.
I did just check. There's no reports yet on Ovechkin. This was not knee-on-knee, for those who didn't see the injury. This is not a knee-on-knee injury. This, when you look at it, this is actually doesn't look like it's all that much. Right. That's really much what it is here. So it did, and it didn't look all that bad here. So hopefully it's nothing. Maybe he had a stinger. Maybe he hit a nerve. That's what we're hoping for. I do wonder, Scott, though, could be the MCL as far as the knee. So if I had to guess, I don't think it's major. I certainly don't think it's season ending here. It's something to watch. We hope it's, like I said, I really hope it's just a nerve thing and that he's fine. He'll be back next game. I don't know when they play. I don't think it's tonight. I know it's not tonight. He's had 5 goals in his last 2 games. He's going to break Gretzky's record, assuming he stays healthy, which is a fantastic story, by the way. So let's hope. Let's really hope he's okay here, Scott. But as of right now, it's almost noon Eastern time. No update on the severity of Ovechkin's injury.
Yeah, it really wasn't. It didn't look, sometimes those are the worst injuries, right? It's half the time you see football players, right? They don't even get hit. They just fall to the ground. Hopefully it's not something like that. All right, Georgia. Yeah. All right, Georgia, thank you the rest of the way. I'm getting set for football full circle coming up top of the hour.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, Moneyline. I'm George Kurtz. Scott Blaisdell is getting ready for football full circle at noon here. So we'll continue with the hockey slate here. The NHL, big slate tonight over there in the hockey. Tampa Bay and the Tampa Bay Lightning, Pittsburgh Penguins. Penguins been that weird team, right? You never know what team's going to show up. They play pretty poorly here. You're getting -164 with Tampa. That's about the max I like to go with as far as how high. -160, -165 here. I like Tampa Bay in the game. Do I think this is a parlay opportunity? Absolutely. Maybe you want to go to the goal line. All right, then you take the plus money there, +144 right now, minus a goal and a half. I like it anytime goal scorer in this game as well with Kucherov. It's been a while since he scored here. He's getting some points. So maybe you want to take over a point and a half in this game as well here. Bottom line is this. I like Tampa Bay here. Pittsburgh, they have those superstar players here, Crosby, Malcolm, Matang, but they're going to have to make a decision. I don't think Crosby's going anywhere. I know there's a lot of talk about that, that maybe he wants to finish his career with a winning team or a team that has a chance to at the Stanley Cup. Just don't know if that's going to happen. But we'll see what happens there. It's Pittsburgh long-term. Trade deadline's not until February or even early March. Edmonton playing Ottawa. Edmonton got shut out last night by Montreal. Yeah, I didn't have that on my bingo card. I mean, Montreal, listen, they're an average team at best. That's probably being nice here. Not sure how they can show up the Edmonton Oilers. I think Edmonton's definitely going to get revenge tonight. I know it's a back-to-back situation, which generally I don't like to bet on here, but I think I can't see them losing to Montreal and Ottawa back-to-back games here. -105. Not often you get them at -105 either here. The over, almost certainly. 6.5. Edmonton, plus money. It's +100. I'm taking that. Taking that all day long here. So give me the Edmonton Oilers tonight and the over in that contest. I'll likely have Draisaitl for an anytime goal as well. He's been hot as Hades of late here. All right, next game, Minnesota, St. Louis. Minnesota playing very well. St. Louis been more up and down here, but I'm not going -170 with Minnesota here. So this is a game where, if you want to go on St. Louis, that's fine. Take the plus money. I don't love it. You're just taking it for plus money here. Over-under's 5.5. But you're paying a price at -120. Kind of lean the over in this contest. We talked about Florida, Winnipeg, right? Your game of the night. Anaheim, Chicago, probably not your game of the night. The other end of that. My New York Islanders play the Calgary Flames. I don't know what you're going to get from the Islanders. All right. Then Calgary's, they've cooled off after their hot start as well. But one thing I can tell you is that the Islanders are no longer an automatic bet the under, right? Which they used to be for me for a long time here. That over-under is always 5.5 of the Islanders, or almost always 5.5 of the Islanders here. It's -118. Take the Islanders are scoring goals. They're giving them up, too. They're scoring goals here, so take the over in this game. That's where I like this game tonight, over 5.5 for the New York Islanders. I also believe Semyon Varlamov will start this game. It's not confirmed yet. Remember, out in Calgary, I think it's only 9:19. We'll give Joe Madden a call and find out for sure. But I think you should take the over in this contest. I think Varlamov will be your starter here. Our last game of the night, Rangers play the Canucks. Another really good game. Rematch of what, the 94 Stanley Cup Finals there. Rangers -110, Canucks also -110 here. Canucks are an up-and-down team. Once again, you don't know what you're going to get from them game in, game out. Rangers considered one of the better teams in the NHL, and I guess that's rightfully so. Shesterkin should be a net for them. It's another game where I think we're going to get some goals here. It's 6.5, not 5.5. Plus 100, but I think we'll get some goals in this contest here. Probably lean towards the Rangers here, but not enough to place a bet on this contest here. So that's your NHL slate tonight, as far as that's concerned. Scott and I talked about several NFL games. We have the Thursday night game, Pittsburgh-Cleveland. This smells like a trap game to Pittsburgh, doesn't it? You come off the big win against Baltimore. You don't score a touchdown, but you go off the big win against Baltimore. Cleveland lost to New Orleans here. James Winston didn't implode. But a Thursday night game here, I think Pittsburgh wins the game, but it does smell to me a little bit that this, like I said, could be that trap game for the Steelers. They're favored by 3.5. Hard not to take them here. You want to go on the money line. It's -198, 2-1. The over-under is 35.5. You're betting the under guy. Hey, God bless you. I'm not saying it's going to fly over, but there's no way I can bet that under 35.5 in an NFL regular season game. That is absolutely incredible to me that an over-under could be that low. No way I'm taking that here. I think Pittsburgh's going to score a touchdown this week. I'm going to be big on Najee Harris this week and his props. I think he's going to be a big part of this game. We'll see what Jameis Winston can do. Certainly, always look at his interception props. I assume he's going to get that picked once or twice. And by the way, Jerry Jeudy. All of a sudden, he's a thing again, right, with Wednesday. We thought it was going to be Cedric Tillman, but it's been Jerry Jeudy of late, so maybe he's going to be that guy there. Minnesota-Chicago is another big game this week. New England-Miami could be a game. Dallas, we mentioned, 10-point underdogs to Washington. First time they've been double-digit underdogs since I believe it was 2000. And I don't see how you bet the Cowboys here. So this has been Moneyline. I'm George Kurtz. I'll be back tonight from 8 to 10 with Mike Carver on Carver and Lisi. Coming up next, football full circle. Scott Wetzel, and it's Ben Stevens. Enjoy, everybody.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.